Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast.
What I discovered in this process of healing from this marriage is that I was harming myself. I was not forgiving myself.
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It's me, Michelle, and I'm here with my mom, Barb, and we're thrilled to be sitting across the table from each other to chat some more about life. Yeah. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Another great episode.
How are you?
I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah, I'm good. How's everybody listening?
Yeah, I always ask you, Mom, but yeah, that's a good one. How is everyone out there?
How are you all doing? Maybe if you're not driving and you're stationary right now, maybe just take a second to close your eyes and just take a deep breath and connect with your body and just see how you're feeling.
I love that. What a nice way to start the show.
I agree. I love it. I mean, we talk about that often, and I do it regularly. It's really what brings me back to center, especially if I'm feeling a little off or just anxious or just overwhelmed, or even sometimes just, sometimes I'll walk through the day and I'll think, wait a minute, let me bring myself back to the present moment.
Yeah.
Not sure sometimes where my mind has been, but I'm most often searching for any wisdom and any body indications that I've left the moment. And I want to make sure that I'm present as much as possible, since that's where we have our opportunities to live our best life.
Absolutely. And let this start of the show be your permission to take a break and breathe and connect with yourself, because we know that life is busy and we're always on the go, and you deserve to have some moments for yourself.
I love that you use the word break. I think sometimes we think of break and that's not possible, because for whatever reason, we think of a break as being some longer, more planned or drawn out thing. And really, break is just literally just stopping, taking a deep breath, and begin again. Like pause, come back to the present moment, and just begin again. That simple, easy.
Not always easy. Easy, but not always easy to do in the moment.
Because we don't remember that we can do that.
Yeah.
That it really is helpful, and it can change everything.
It really can. So we did an episode a couple weeks ago that received lots of feedback and questions and comments and requests for some more. And we remembered after the fact that we did promise more on this topic. And so we're making good on our promise and adding on to our episode of forgiveness from a few weeks ago.
Yes. So here's more.
Here's more. So yes.
I'm very excited about it.
If you haven't listened to that episode, maybe pause this and go back, just because I really loved that conversation. And I think you brought up a lot of different unique points and perspectives on forgiveness. And I just thought it was really cool. So definitely worth a listen. But today, in this kind of part two of the show, we wanted to dive a little deeper into the nitty gritty ins and outs. What does it look like in regular life? How do you put this into practice in real life? Because in theory, like, we can say all of this stuff from meditation to journaling to forgiveness, to being present. And it all can sound like really nice and good in our minds, but what does that actually look like in our busy, messy lives? And that's what I hope today's show can be all about, because forgiveness is hard. The practice of forgiveness is hard. The pressure of forgiveness is hard. And I think that it's a beneficial practice, but it, like we talked about in the other episode, it has to be in our own aligned timing. And I'm excited for you to share more of your insights about it today, Mom.
Well, I think, you know, we talk about things being hard in life, and they actually are. Life is difficult, as we say often on this podcast. But I think the other piece to that, and, you know, it's never just all one thing. The other piece to that is it is hard, but I think what makes it even harder is that we are not okay with being where we are in the moment. And for me, that's going to kind of be the foundation of this talk today, Michelle, is I've really been focusing and reflecting and thinking about how often we leave the present moment and what makes it so hard to forgive? What makes it so hard to just deal with daily life? You know, what makes it so hard to get up sometimes in the morning? And I think a lot of it is because of our understanding and our attitude and our thoughts about what we're trying to do. And the whole thing about being present, we're so busy ruminating about the past and not quite sure how we feel or not quite sure how we want to process things, and being worried and fearful about the future. And oh my gosh, what does this hold for me? Instead of being present. So I really want us to understand that, especially in the realm of forgiveness, but everything that we do in life, being present is a must. But in the realm of forgiveness, it's so important to be present and really do your best. Set that intention to do your best, not to dwell on the past and not to worry about the future. And I don't mean not reflect on the past. I mean dwell on it. Because I think the first thing in the steps to forgiveness that you and I are going to talk about, Michelle, and they're not a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 step thing. We had this conversation earlier. It's really just our practice and things that I have been doing in processing the grief and the trauma and the anger and the resentment that I have had after having gone through this divorce of 33-year marriage. Mm-hmm. So I think where I would like to start is the first thing we have to do is be able to acknowledge that we have had a relationship with someone else that has harmed us, or that we feel harmed, or that we feel that we need to forgive them, or that we have done the harming. And it could be with someone else, or it also could be with ourselves. It's really just acknowledging that we've been harmed, or right, their harm has existed in this process. Because we don't need to forgive if we don't feel there's been harm that's been done.
Right.
So I think it's really acknowledging that.
Yeah, you're diving right in.
Oh, No,
I love it. I just wanted to, so thinking of forgiving.
I tend to do that.
No, it's good because when she wants to go, you just got to let her go. And I like that you start with acknowledging, because I think when I think about my own life with instances of forgiveness, it's like there's a hurt or a harm and we know that it's there, but we kind of rush to the, okay, I have to get over it, forgiveness place. And even though I know this isn't like a 1, 2, 3 step thing, I think that each aspect of this practice is important, because each part of this practice has value and meaning in our lives towards healing. And I think that this first step is really crucial. And I love that you started with it, because I don't know, for better or for worse, you have to acknowledge the harm and the hurt, even though it might be painful, but that it's the reality. And I think accepting what's true and what's real in the moment can help us to get centered and grounded in what we're actually trying to accomplish in this forgiveness journey. So, okay, continue.
No, I love what you just said, Michelle. You encapsulated it perfectly. If we don't acknowledge that harm has been done, it's really difficult to move forward. We're still uncertain. We're still unclear. We don't have the clarity that we need. And I feel like there's many reasons why this is important, and you just named most of them. And one that I would like to add to that is what I discovered in this process of healing from this marriage is that I was harming myself. I was not forgiving myself. I was not acknowledging that, wait a minute, I'm not thinking a whole lot about myself. There was a lot of shame or guilt. You know, I think we touched on this in the last episode. You know, why did it take me so long to wake up to just the trauma of this whole thing? And not, I want to be clear, not that there weren't some good times. You know, whenever we talk about this, it's not like it's all one thing.
Right.
Of course there were some good times, but the trauma was overwhelming for the most part as I've reflected back and as I've really gone through my own feelings and the experiences that I had. So I think it was important for me to first work on myself. First, look at what did I need to forgive about myself? What was I angry with myself about? What was I feeling shame about? What was I feeling impatience about with myself? Why was I not feeling care and love and grace for myself?
That's interesting because, and I think there's a little bit of nuance in that because of course we always talk about self-forgiveness as a huge practice of forgiveness. But I think when in your particular case with your divorce, I think we would immediately jump to, okay, you need to forgive your ex-husband. But I think it's really interesting that you said to yourself, okay, I got to work this out within myself of some of the difficult feelings I have about myself for staying too long or whatever it might be. And then I can get to that next step of him. That's super interesting.
It was the only way that I could do it because I realized, and I think you and I did talk about this during this, I mean, this was 2019, this was a 3-year, 4-year process. This was not a short time.
Right.
And I think part of why the process was possibly longer than maybe, I don't want to say it needed because it takes what it takes. I truly believe that deep within my heart. Life takes what it takes. So I truly believe that.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I don't mean to interrupt
you. No, I love what you're going to say.
It takes what it takes has become my favorite thing ever. And you and I, you're a huge sports person. And of course, as we know, we were watching the NBA playoffs. And I think this is fascinating. I don't know what connection this has to us or anything. Obviously, you didn't come up with that. But we were watching. You were rooting for the Celtics. Celtics were down. And during a timeout, they were showing the coach talking to the players and he was like, you got to keep going. It takes what it takes. And then they won.
And you recorded that. Yeah.
They were down. I loved it.
I love it. Nice sidebar, Michelle. Sorry. I love that. No,
I love
that.
It takes what it takes. It's for everything.
You come to this wisdom in our experiences in life. And so he came to that in his experience of whatever was happening on the court with himself and with his players. And I think we can do the same thing. I think that's what's so magical about life and us being able to work through all the hardships of life. And so today we're talking about forgiveness. So I truly had to acknowledge that even though I had so much anger, and a lot of times in the last episode, we used the word rage, and all of the things that I had, the feelings that I had toward my ex-husband, I had to look at what was happening inside of me that I felt stuck in this whole idea of moving forward. And what was happening is I had so much guilt and shame and that I'd let you down, Michelle, and that I didn't, there were things that I wish that I could have done differently. So much trauma was happening in many parts of this relationship. And I think, oh my gosh, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? You did this. You're the problem, Barb, because I was told that for so many years in this relationship. And so I really got stuck on that I was the problem. And had I done things differently, I wouldn't be sitting in the situation that I'm in today. And that's the problem.
Right.
That really kept me, that stops everything. That stops the process of everything, the process actually of living as well, because certainly I wasn't in the moment. And one day I was in my meditation and it just was overwhelming to me. Barb, you're treating yourself with such unkindness. Mm-hmm. You would never treat a close friend. You would never treat your daughter this way. You would never treat all of the people in this community, in this world that listens to our podcast and that we love so dearly on social media and in the emails and Substack and all the things that we do. We would never treat anyone the way you're treating yourself. It was a big wake up call. And when I acknowledged that, I did a good deal of work of establishing the love and the care and the understanding that I have for myself. Mm-hmm. And so I did a lot of self-love meditation. a lot. I was really dedicated. And especially during that 30-day retreat that I took this year, I did a lot of, though my mind wanted to jump to my ex-husband or wanted to jump to, you know, forgiving whatever it is, but it was mostly that marriage. I brought it right back to the moment. Wait a minute. How are you feeling about yourself right now? Are you still feeling shame? Are you feeling like you failed your daughter? Mm-hmm. Are you feeling like a failure in life? And so in doing that, it was so powerful. And that's why I'm sharing this first. It really brought me to a place of, it takes what it takes. I did the very best that I could in that moment with all of the information and all of the things and the wisdom that I had inside of me. And I did what I could. And there's something so powerful about admitting that to yourself, because I believe it. And I believe that you are good. I didn't destroy you. I didn't damage you to a place where I need to feel guilty or shame. Things happened. I did the very best. And now I'm acknowledging that, wait a minute. Yes, it happened back then, but look at who you are today, Barb. Look at the wisdom that you've gained, as Maya Angelou says, one of my favorite people on the planet. Forgive yourself for not knowing what you didn't know before you learned it. So I really took that to heart deeply and spent 30 days, you know, really cultivating that deep forgiveness for myself. Mm. So it's given me so much more clarity now of where I need to start the forgiveness process for my ex-husband.
That's really, really interesting. And I think regardless of what situation the listeners might find themselves in, coming back to yourself first to just even take an inventory of where you're at and what's going on and the feelings that are being felt, and especially how you're feeling about yourself, is such an important step in this journey. And I just think that that's a really fascinating way or place to start the conversation.
And I think the most important, and I think maybe we could make sure that always, whenever you and I are talking about anything really, but especially with things like this forgiveness, something huge in life, it's always without judgment, without comparison, or without trying to fix, because that's where my brain goes. I think those three things are crucial in our lives. If you really recognize how often your brain goes to, how often my mind immediately went to judging myself. Of course, that's the shame. That's the guilt. Those are all the things. And then it goes to, I bet no one else is going through what I'm going through. Mm. Other people aren't experiencing this. I just made so many mistakes, or I just did things, you know, it goes
people
to that.
Do things so much better than you.
People do things so much better than I do. And all of those things, all those comparisons. And the idea, we had this episode a while ago about how much it took me to get past the idea that I was going to be divorced twice.
Right.
So I think, and then immediately my mind goes to wanting to fix it. How do I fix this? And I cannot fix anything in the past. So that's the dilemma I think we find ourselves in often as humans. We come to this place, I got to fix it, but I can't fix the past. I can't change the past. So fixing it really doesn't mean fixing it. Fixing it means, okay, what step can I take now in the direction of leading the life and having the relationships that I truly want to have? What is the action that I need to take now? I'm not fixing something. I'm actually moving forward in what's the next iteration of this relationship with myself and with others.
Well, it's almost like you're reconciling the past with the present. And I think, especially with self-forgiveness, I feel like, you know, you have to let go of and accept and come to terms with the fact that we made choices and decisions that might have taken us away from ourselves and who we are and what we really want, and not having so much judgment about it. But then also in the present moment, really seeing and asking, what is it that we need to do to come back to ourselves? And kind of going back to what you were saying a little bit ago too, it is super fascinating to me to think about this concept of self-forgiveness first, in a sense, because I could see if you neglect the self-forgiveness, and thinking specifically about your situation with divorce and, you know, kind of jumping to the forgiveness of your ex-husband and not thinking about all of the feelings that are also going on underneath the surface of why did I stay so long? oh my gosh, I really messed Michelle up. All of the things that you're saying, like that only builds more frustration and angst and anxiety and rage for yourself, which kind of, it almost feels like it's impossible to come to a resolution because you're not like, you're, I don't know how to say this, how I'm trying to say it, but like you mom or you listener, you're you and you're the only one who's living your life. And like we always say, becoming your own best friend, like taking good care of yourself, loving yourself, being gentle with yourself. If you're not checking in and tapping into that self-forgiveness and letting the rage and angst and disappointment build up while then simultaneously trying to reconcile something in the external world, it's like you're trying to cross a bridge, but the center has been cut in half. And so like, you're not going to get there because you have to tend to yourself. Does that make sense?
Beautifully said. You have to start with
yourself.
And not
in like
first.
A selfish way, but just, you got to make yourself, and I don't mean this because we talk about the becoming whole, but you got to make yourself whole. Like bring all the pieces of yourself back together from whatever has happened so that you can then tackle whatever else is happening in the external world.
Exactly. It always has to start with us. It has to start with you. It can't start any other place because that is, I believe that is why we have so much difficulty. We're making life harder than it needs to be. You know, it's that episode we talked about, there's suffering that leads to the end of suffering and there's suffering that leads to more suffering. And we're always going to have pain and suffering. We talk about so much because that's the way life is. It's just not all, you know, roses and happiness. We do have pain. We do have sadness. We do have sorrow. But we add to it. We add on to it. And so by comparing ourselves and judging ourselves and trying to fix ourselves, what is wrong with me? It really just not only takes away your energy and your presence, but it actually, you're right, Michelle, it chips away and erodes your ability to even be able to function in other relationships, and especially one that you're trying to extricate yourself from or trying to figure out where you fit in it or what you want to do next, especially if it's a relationship that's harmed you.
Like I could just see it would be more confusing if you can't come back to yourself, how you could even know what to do with someone else or something else or a situation in the external world.
You don't. And isn't this kind of your gaslighting yourself? Am I using that word correctly?
Yeah.
You're kind of gaslighting yourself.
Yeah.
You're putting all the blame on you. You're saying you should have known better. Oh yeah, you're suffering right now, but you caused your own suffering. You know, you're kind of taking it all on, but at the same time, you're still having anger and rage or resentment towards your ex. And you go round and round in circles with it all and you never get to a place of where you really want to be. And that's where the exhaustion and the like, oh my gosh, can I ever just get over this? Can I ever just move forward? What is the matter with me is always for me. I'm always speaking from my own experience. What is the matter with me is the last thing I usually say to myself when I'm just so caught up in this hamster wheel of going round and round. So all of that to say that I think I know that it is incredibly important to get straight with yourself first. You know, you have to have that loving, caring relationship with yourself. Otherwise, you will probably, I know for me, I can't have patience and grace and care for myself. It just doesn't go together. If I'm not really treating myself with the utmost care and kindness. And I think where you go from there is powerful. This is where it really all starts. What did Shakespeare say? Where the rubber meets the road or however that goes.
Not sure.
I'm not even sure Shakespeare said that.
That doesn't sound very Shakespearean.
I don't know.
Yeah,
there's something similar to that somewhere.
Where the rubber, ye reads the road.
You know, this is where once we can get straight with ourselves and really get that loving kindness and sense of we've done the best that we can, now let's move forward into what's happening now in this relationship, we can really start to go through it. It makes so much more sense. Like you were saying, you don't even know how you could do it because you can't cross the bridge if the middle of the bridge is gone. Mm-hmm. So what happened for me was when I got straight with myself, it was almost easy for me to spend some quiet time feeling the feelings that I had of this rage and this anger and this resentment. And without judgment, without comparison, without fixing. And in feeling those feelings, they're real. I realize these are real. I don't want to brush them away. I don't want to say, Barb, you're on a path for 40 years. You know, loving kindness is your thing and really helping the world grow and become. You got to forgive him. I didn't allow myself to say those things anymore. But wait a minute, this is how I feel right now. And that's when we talked in the last episode. I realized that I'm not ready to actually forgive, which means that I can bless the person and wish them well and move on. Remember, forgiveness does never mean forgetting. It doesn't mean what happened was okay. It just means that I wish the person well and I can move on now. So I wasn't even at that stage. And I wasn't at the stage of wanting to intend that because I was still so filled with the anger and the rage that now that I was straight with myself in a great place, you know, really had myself with loving care and kindness, I could see I'm really hurt. I suffered a lot of pain and sorrow. And then, so I didn't try to fix the pain and the sorrow. I let myself feel it instead of pushing the feelings away, which was blocking my ability to get to some kind of a resolution and closure.
Right. Hi, friends. If you're a makeup and skincare girly like I am, you know how important the products are. But have you ever thought about how you apply them is even more important for the results that we're all looking for? Since 2019, Anissa Beauty has been leading the way in creating vegan and cruelty-free makeup and skincare brushes that are safe for your skin and the planet, which is so important to us. Known for their viral and award-winning Pinnacle Foundation Brush, Anissa Beauty has become a fan favorite among beauty lovers. What truly sets them apart is their innovation in skincare brushes, offering tools and specifically designed to pair with moisturizers, serums, and cleansers. They're one of the few brands dedicated to elevating skincare routines with expertly designed brushes that optimize the application and absorption of skincare products. The Anissa Beauty Pinnacle Foundation Brush is an absolute game changer in our routine. My mom and I have been loving adding it into our beauty routine, and it's been so fun to see the benefits and the results. The Pinnacle Foundation Brush is more than just a brush. It's a gateway to understanding that the tool that you use can be more important than the actual product. Anissa Beauty's brushes deliver value and quality like no other, which has completely changed how I apply skincare. I no longer use my hands and I let the brush do the work, ensuring smooth, even application every time. These brushes aren't just tools, they elevate your entire routine. And it's been amazing to try it out. Check out the Pinnacle Foundation Brush as well as several other amazing brushes at anissabeauty.com and get 30% off site-wide with code BARBKNOWSBEST. That's A-N-I-S-A beauty.com. With the changing of the seasons upon us, I know just how challenging it can feel to transition from the summer to fall fashion. But Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out and add more new-to-you styles. I've been loving trying out Armoire lately. It's been a game changer for me to be able to mix and match, change things up, and keep in mind my sustainability efforts because I'm not constantly purchasing new clothes that just pile up in my closet, creating clutter and unnecessary expense and waste. There are so many benefits to having an Armoire membership. You can always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once. Armoire is a woman-founded and woman-led company, which is so important to us. And Armoire can help you actually define your own personal style. So what are you waiting for? Try Armoire today, because right now our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/barbknowsbest. That's armoire.style, A-R-M-O-I-R-E, .style/barbknowsbest to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Can I interject really quickly?
Of course.
And rewind a little bit?
Sure.
I'm interested in what you just said about forgiveness. And I can't remember if we talked about this in the other episode, but do you define forgiveness as being able to, like, is that the goal of forgiveness, is to be getting to a place where you can, like you said, bless the person from afar? Does it have to get there for you to say that you've forgiven?
You know, this is kind of new experiences and territory that I feel like I'm in. I'm really exploring. In the past, it took a long time to forgive my uncle for sexually abusing me. It took a long time, but I, for whatever reason, I had a lot of self-forgiveness that had to happen first. I got there and I felt like I was glad I got there, because then I could just truly put it in the past and move forward with a lot of therapy and a lot of help. So in this situation, I don't know, but I do know my ethos in life is loving kindness, is
freedom,
And not, and you know, when I talk about freedom, it's not freedom from the person, you know, the feelings and working through my feelings will give me freedom from the person. What it has done, it has helped me see clearly what I need and what I want to move forward. Freedom from the feelings and freedom from the tyranny of the suffering and the pain, you know, freedom from the feelings of that I'm the problem. So it's kind of like all mixed into one. So when I talk freedom, I already have freedom from the person.
Mm-hmm.
I already have decided there is no contact that I will have with this person. I don't need contact with him. I don't want contact with him. There is no contact that I want with this person, nor will I have it.
Mm-hmm.
There is no scenario where this person will ever be a part of my life. And in feeling that freedom from that, it feels so good. It feels certain, and it doesn't feel mean. It doesn't feel like I have ill will about it. It feels, this is because I have so much loving care for myself. It feels like, wow, this feels so good. And I'm not harming the other person.
Right.
So there is that piece of not harming the other person. So I think it's a process for sure. So it's a little process of, okay, I've got to this point where I'm really clear and I feel good about my decision. No contact. The boundaries are very clear. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
So am I to the place where I wish him well? No, not yet. I don't know what I need yet, but I'm confident that being in the present moment and trusting my timing, and trusting this process, that I will get there. And I think that's the key. Please stop pressuring yourself to get there now. The patience has served me very well, because I feel so, you know, you feel so good about yourself when you've got to a level of, this feels good.
Right. I'm just curious, because I think a lot of people, even though we're saying you don't have to make this, you know, the center of your forgiveness practice, get to that, or feel like they have to get to that place of wishing them well to feel like they've like reached that level of forgiveness. So I'm just, does that even need to happen in order to say that you've moved on?
I just got an epiphany of wisdom.
Love it.
Let's take that away from the equation. Why do we have to have
great.
Some...
That's what I...
And you're exactly it. Right, Michelle.
Michelle.
I'm so excited I can hardly talk. Because you're right. This is what wisdom does. When you really get to a place of, oh my gosh, this is speaking straight to my heart. This is what I believe and feel. That is freedom. It does... Why do we have to have an end result? Why can't we just trust the process of... I have a relationship with myself now that I always had, but somehow it got eroded in this whole idea of me feeling the guilt and the shame around this marriage of what I, you know, what I've already said about you. So processing that and having this really coming back to myself, as you said, bringing the pieces of the puzzle back to wholeness within myself and really loving myself in the context of this relationship and knowing that I did the best that I can. So now I'm moving to the next step. And that's feeling the rage and the anger that I have toward my ex-husband.
Got it.
And so what I believe, why do we have to why do we have to think, oh, I got to get to this place though. That's the future. I don't know what the future is going to hold for me in the context of this relationship. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that. Why do we have to feel like in order to be a good person or in order to be right, or I don't know what it is we're thinking. I don't even know what the words are, but why do we think we have to have some sense of closure as to what that closure has to be? I believe I will get to some sense of really good healing and really good closure to the extent of how I'm feeling free and feeling really comfortable in my healing process. But I don't know what that's going to look like. So I'm giving myself the present, really, the presence of my presence in the moment and allowing myself the grace of, I don't know what's going to happen and I'm okay with that. I don't have to know what's going to happen. There is no end result that I have to get to. That is too much pressure. And I think it's going to stop my healing.
I think that's hugely important because in everyone's healing journey, it's almost like setting yourself up for failure, thinking that that is the place of achievement, of that you can wish someone well from afar. Because in some, I really think in some cases that might not be possible. And don't make that your goal. I think also thinking about forgiveness, for me, it's really been, and I hope you don't mind me saying this as someone who's in your life watching you, it's not even necessarily about the other person, so to speak. It's about how can you free yourself of the things of the past that have happened so that they no longer like torture you in the present, so that you're no longer, you know, digging it up. It's like, what healing do you need to do for yourself? What actions do you need to take? And I might be jumping the shark of more things that you're going to say, but what actions do you need to do or say or accomplish so that you feel complete with the things of the past and they're no longer like gnawing away at you in the present? It's almost like for me, and maybe for you, because a lot of the traumas that we are working through kind of
are shared
and run parallel with each other. But it's like, I know for you, if you feel like you haven't said your piece or your truth or stood up for yourself in a way that feels aligned for you, it kind of gnaws away at you. It's like in your present psyche. So it's like, what can you do or what can you say to yourself or to someone else or to other or in a letter or in your journal that will kind of make you feel like you've closed that loop so that it's not like nagging you in your subconscious?
Honestly, acknowledging it to yourself is right. Everything. And I think you're right. Cause there are a lot of times you can't actually speak the words.
Right.
Or a lot of times you can't act. I couldn't speak the words to my uncle. I could.
And I think there's that sense of like trying to seek justice, but justice is not going to give you forgiveness.
No.
And sometimes, you know, justice isn't, we all seek justice for our wrongs or when we've been wronged, but sometimes that's a journey that isn't going to give us the outcome that we want.
Well, no, because we don't have the power there. And that's right. The problem. We're putting our power somewhere where it doesn't belong because we don't have it. We can't have it. And I think that's the beauty of this conversation and where I'm moving in the direction of forgiveness in this relationship. I'm looking at what can I control? What do I have the power over? Where can I assert my own presence, really, my own sense of being, what I love about me and who I am. And often we can't say the words to the other person, but when we acknowledge them to ourselves, when I actually name what I'm feeling, when I actually say, I have rage, I have never used that word in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I used that word when I went through therapy. I think my therapist tried to get me to say it when I was digesting my bulimia and the sexual assault with my uncle, I think, but I don't know if I ever connected to any rage, anger, yes, and all of that. So
I do want to do an episode about rage.
We will. And I think just the idea though of naming it, telling yourself, this is how I'm feeling, saying, I'm feeling this way. Just that simple sentence. I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling rage. I'm feeling whatever that is. Just that simple sentence gives you, like, you can breathe. Oh, I said it. It's real. It's true. It rings true for me in my heart. it kind of gives you goosebumps and you're like, oh, thank goodness I finally said it. Thank goodness I finally released myself from the rage and the anger or the resentment or the disappointment. Because I'm validating myself, mm-hmm. you know, because feelings aren't facts. And of course, feelings aren't final. They come and they go. So I'm validating myself. And I know that that feeling is going to go because it won't last. It only lasts because we're constantly negating it. So what happened in the moment for me when I felt that feeling and allowed myself to feel it and cried and got angry. And if I'd have been in a boxing ring, I might've been boxing one of those balls or whatever it is that they box or whatever, you know, the boxing bag or whatever it is. Because what I just want to say that one more time, when you name it to yourself and tell yourself, I'm feeling rage, just in my case, that simple sentence gave me relief, gave me my power back, gave me the sense of, wow, validation. You're okay, Barb. You're allowed to feel rage, even though your handle on Instagram is Peaceful Barb. You know, I mean, just think about that for a second. So, and then I think what else it did most, so important that you get to this place as well. And it just happens naturally because you're being with yourself in the moment. As by validating myself, I realize this is a temporary feeling. I'm not always going to feel like this. It's not going to last forever. And it allowed me then to, it allowed the feeling then and the whole sense of all of these feelings to have less power over me. And I had more power over my life and what's next. And clarity over what's next. Because I think when we lower that intensity of the emotions, my emotions were off the wall the past few years. And I know you were front and center, you're a front row seat to all of it. When we lower that intensity of the emotions, which is what happens when you name your feelings and when you really allow yourself to feel them, we can take that next step, which is where I would go with the next thing that happens. We're able to take the next step. I wasn't able to even go to the next step. What choice, as you said, what choices do I have now? Mm-hmm. What are my choices here? And it's like a floodgate opens up. Your mind is so clear that all these things come to you and you like have a myriad, a grocery store of choices of all the things that you can choose from. And then you start answering yourself. Well, I have this choice, but I don't choose to take that choice. I have this choice. This looks pretty interesting. How could that play out? You know, you can journal them, you can write them down, but you actually feel, this is where the freedom starts to come, where you actually feel that sense of, wow, I have the power over my own life. I am no longer a victim. I am no longer the problem. I am the solution for my own happiness and for my own success and joy in my life. And so then when you get through that, what are the choices that I have? And you start to hone in on which choices I'm going to make and how that might look. Then you can ask yourself, what do I really want here? And in asking myself that, and I haven't even gotten to the place of, well, I want to wish him well. I mean, that's just not in the, that's not even in the realm of my thinking right now, because I'm staying present in what's happening inside of me. You know, 33 years is a really long time. Mm-hmm. So what do I really want? And what I really want is freedom. I really want to be at peace. I really want to love myself so completely, love my life so completely, and really do the things in my life that are going to bring me the joy and the success and the happiness that I desire. So what does that look like then? Then you, okay, what do I really want? And I think those are the iterations of the next step and the next step and the next step when we're actually being present. And I'm not saying that during this whole process that the past didn't try to creep in and say, yeah, Barb, but what about this situation? You didn't do this in this situation and you could have done something differently. Of course, those thoughts are going to creep back in. But when you start to have the clarity and you start to care more about yourself than you do about trying to fix yourself in the past, which you can't do, you're able to come back. Wait a minute. Take a deep breath, Barb. Wait, the past is gone. You already made peace with all of that. You already know you can't change it. You already know you're so blessed right now in this moment to be in this place of working through your pain and suffering. That's the blessing. It's not like I'm going to thank him one day for the whole relationship and thank you for all this trauma and pain and suffering. I think that's where we kind of get confused. I know I got confused. Oh, the one day it's going to be a blessing that all this happened to me. No, I mean, I would never have wished any of this on myself or anyone else that I know in life. But the blessing is that I've come back to myself and I know myself even better. I have more wisdom about, wow, what am I going to do next time around? You know, if you're beating yourself up about what you did in the past, how about working through what we just talked about and forgiving yourself and coming to a place of, okay, now what will I do next? Because I'm certainly going to be in more relationships and not just romantic ones, any place where we are, our life is all about relationships. So the wisdom of, wow, that didn't work for 33 years. What does work for me?
Not to reiterate a past point, but the it takes what it takes is such a huge piece of that, because your life was that 33 years. And even if in this present moment you wish that maybe things were shorter or you got the lesson sooner, that wasn't what was in the cards for you in this journey. And so for me, as a witness to your life, but in thinking about my own life, it's like, okay, what did I pick up in those 33 years that, like you're saying, I can take with me into this next chapter of life? And not even to have judgment about that last chapter of life, but it's almost like, and I know I've said this in the past and you always laugh, like a video game, like you've worked through that level and you've picked up everything. And now what do you take with you in this next level of the game? And that game was, or that level was a hard part of the game, but now you're in a new one. And it's like, and I hate to say this because I don't mean it this way, but it's like all of that doesn't even matter now because you're in a brand new space and it was what it was. And obviously when things pop up or you feel triggered or emotions arise or something happens to bring you back to that place, you work through it. But it's like, it's almost too like forgiveness is how can I put that to rest?
Michelle, this is genius what you're saying. Absolute genius. I can't say that enough. And it's so hard to put words to everything that we're talking about because it's almost the experience that you get. Oh my gosh, yes. So there's a very, very old book that's fantastic, and it's called Life is a Game. I can't remember who the author is. It's a woman, and it's,
she's, I'll look it up and put it in the,
yeah,
show notes.
She's got a series, Life is, because I think that's, you know, sometimes it can sound, you're right. Sometimes it can sound, life is a game, but this is serious stuff we're talking about. So this is not trivial. I think what I'm trying to say in this process, and I'm in it, I think that is the beauty of this. I'm in it. It's not like I worked myself all the way through it and now I'm sharing it all with you. I'm still in it. And what I want to say to everyone listening is that you truly do have to, you have to have that deep relationship with yourself before any of this can happen. And then you truly do have to trust the timing, trust the process. Because what I'm feeling as I'm moving through this is, and it's kind of, I have a little smile on my face right now, is I'm going to get to a place of, that 33 years was never a waste. Nothing we do in life is ever a waste. And that's going to be an episode one day because you know I've had so many conversations
wait for that episode.
About that. I'm at this place, nothing. I'm 67 years old. 33, half of my life was in this. And I'm at a place right now where I feel like nothing is ever a waste. How did I get here? I don't know. I know this is what I've done. But did I will myself to get to this place? No. Did I manifest myself to get to this place? No. I just was all the while taking cues from my inner knowing. Okay, I'm feeling these feelings and trusting. These aren't going to last forever. And trusting, okay, what do I really want? What is the next step? And trusting and trusting. And it just happens. The process just happens. Life just unfolds in that particular way. And I know that has to be really hard to hear. I would probably have a hard time hearing it from someone because it just, when you're in the thick of it, it just doesn't make any sense. And I guess that's where you have to just trust yourself and be in the thick of it. I think that's what I'm trying to say. Just be with yourself. Allow yourself to just be, you know, and always with the notion you're not going to hurt others. You're not going to harm others. Because I think when you're in this, you're more likely not to reach out and do something drastic that you wish you hadn't done, or harm someone, or say something that you wish you hadn't done. Because you're kind of keeping, you're staying in this little contained bubble of taking care of yourself and what do you need here? And what do you really, really want? And caring deeply for yourself. Because then we can actually start to really, not only do I trust it now, I don't have to think about, am I ever going to get to a place where I wish him well from afar because I'm such a loving, caring, kind person? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know I said that already once, but it brings me such joy. It actually brings me such joy.
I can feel the joy from
because
you.
Because I don't know. I don't know what I don't know, but I do know what I do know. Hmm. And when you know that you know, it's such freedom and it's such joy. And I know that I'm on the right path with this healing. I'm on the right track of, I don't know where I'm going to end up and how I'm going to end up feeling about this, but I do know how I feel in this moment. And I trust that every step that I take along the way, I'm constantly connected deep within myself, that it's going to be what I need for that next step and that next step.
Wow.
We're allowing ourselves to be with the moment without the pressure, I guess, is probably the simplest way that I can say it. When we feel pressure to confine to rules, or what society says, or what other people are telling us, aren't you over this yet? You're better than this. You've got all the tools. You've been practicing meditation and mindfulness and all these things for 40 years. You've been through so much trauma in your life. This should be easy for you to get over. And none of that has been true. But what is true is, having practiced this for 40 years, I know how to come back to myself, as you said, Michelle, bringing some of those pieces back together and making that connection with myself really whole for this particular experience. Not that I'm not whole in other places in my life, but this particular one fragmented me.
Yeah,
I was told so often that I'm the problem, I started to believe it. So it's taken me a while to unpack all of that. I'm not the problem. And what is the problem is that I need to process all the feelings and with loving care for myself. And when I'm beating myself up or comparing myself or judging myself or trying to fix the past, I'm stuck. And I'll be stuck there until I set myself free. And I think that's the beauty also, that you start to feel that your freedom is in the hands of others. Mm-hmm. Your freedom is in the hands of yourself.
That's why it's not, you don't have to get justice to find freedom.
No, you set yourself free. But I did want justice before.
Of course.
Like, what I'm trying to say. Don't.
We've spent lots of time plotting and planning our revenge, vigilante style.
You know, because the mind goes there. And if you don't acknowledge that, then you're just lying to yourself. And that's where you start to cover up all the things that you need to be that whole person, to work through the traumas and the really difficult suffering and pain that we have in life. Acknowledge it. You're not going to live there. It's not really who you are. But we have that thought.
Those thoughts maybe more than you.
No, we have those thoughts. We're human. We're human. We have those thoughts. So I hope this has been helpful.
I think so. I feel helped.
Good.
Thank you.
You know, so I just to close it up, and I'm still in a phase of trusting the timing. And there is a possibility that I might get to some other closure that looks, here's what the thing is. There is no other area of my life right now in this moment that I haven't been able to get to that place of, I wish you well from afar. I love you, and I wish you well, but you can't be in my life. Wherever I've had some family situations, wherever I've had any kind of such relationships where it's just not ending in a way that's helpful for any of us in the relationship, I've always been able to work through the suffering and work through the healing and come out the other side wishing them well and loving, having that loving kindness and wishing them well from afar. I don't know if that's possible in this situation, and I don't have that pressure on myself.
That's great, because it's great to know that you can feel freedom and forgiveness from your past without also reaching that level.
Yeah. Stop the pressure.
Because I do think if we even push ourselves to get there, sometimes it's fake anyways. And I think as someone like you, who's a loving, kind-hearted, loving kindness is your ethos, as you said, person, you send out love to, you know, humanity on a whole. So that person, you know, gets it from there. You don't need to specify it. I think.
I love that so much. I love that so much.
You don't need to add extra for that one person who doesn't deserve it. Maybe.
I love that. That's a great way to end this conversation, Michelle. That is so fantastic.
You know, it's,
if you're a loving, kind person and you're, because I do this every single day in one of my meditation practices, sending out loving kindness to humanity. You're right. I love that. And I love all of you for being here. And I love all of you for giving us the privilege of talking with you every single week. This matters. And the vulnerability that I feel is there, but also the loving kindness and the safety that I feel is here as well.
Yes,
so I hope it's been helpful.
You.
And as Michelle always says, let us know.
Yeah.
Give us your comments and we can continue talking.
Yeah.
You know, about this, and I'll keep you updated.
Yes, please.
On so how my journey's, how my healing journey is going.
I would love that. Or personally, and I'm sure everyone else would too. Before we close, for anyone who's listening and is like, okay, again, going back to the beginning, I mentally can understand this. Everything you said makes sense. What can I do today, right now, to start? What would you say?
Sit down with yourself in quiet for a few minutes.
Okay.
With no outside distraction whatsoever. None. Go in a room and close the door and just sit there and ask yourself, what am I feeling right now? This person, I feel harmed. I feel judged or whatever, and just start acknowledging something, just saying, I feel harmed. I am in pain. I am suffering. Just really acknowledging what you are feeling and then asking yourself, how do you feel about yourself? What are the feelings that you're having towards yourself? I'm feeling shame. I'm feeling, resentment. I'm feeling guilt. And really just start getting comfortable with acknowledging how you feel towards yourself and towards the other person.
Great.
Or towards the relationship. That is the very first place to start. And I think, you know, listen to the show several times, but I think once you do that and you do it every single day, you know, repetition is key. That repetition of every day, because you're really committed to this. You're telling yourself, I care about you. I say to myself, when this started, I said, Barb, I care about you. Mm-hmm. I was committed. I care about you. I care about your suffering. I care about your pain. You know, may you be safe. May you be healthy. You know, may you be all that you wish to be. I care about you. So every day when you're saying that, just for a few minutes, I know people don't have time for this. You have time for a few minutes. You care deeply about yourself. You have time for a few minutes every day. Consistency is key every day. And you'll just start to see it opening up a little bit. You start to feel that anger or rage soften a little bit. You know, it may still be there. There's no timing on it. You know, really just sitting and just saying, I'm committed to this for the long haul. It's going to take what it takes, but I'm committed to loving and caring and trusting myself completely. And then just allow the process to unfold.
I love that.
With patience, with grace, and with love for yourself always.
Perfect. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mom, for being so vulnerable in this episode and sharing from your experience. I think it's been really helpful.
Right back to you,
sweetie.
It will
be very helpful.
You too.
We love you.
Yes.
And thank you, friends, for listening to the show. We're so grateful for you for being such a supportive and loving community. The show wouldn't be the show without you. And we're so grateful always to be chatting with you every single week. So thank you for that. If you haven't yet, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, etc., so that you're always up to date on each new episode. And make sure that you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. As you guys know, that's the best way to send us podcast topic requests, questions, comments, concerns, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you haven't yet and you're loving the show, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave a review. It's really, really helpful for us and for the show, and we always really greatly appreciate it. Lastly, the link in the show notes is to sign up for our newsletter, which is super fun. It's a great place to be, and you'll always be up to date with announcements, fun things, lots of stuff in store. So sign up there. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom, for being you. And we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.